Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino with you this afternoon. And what an exciting week as we get closer and closer to training camp opening up. I pulled into the parking lot. A lot of cars out there today, Paul.
Yeah.
No players yet.
No,
well,
no.
There's, I think there's some here that are working out, right? I saw two in the mess hall just a second ago. But players have not reported yet. That will happen on the 31st.
Yeah, that's on Thursday. Guys come in for conditioning. But right now, you got
the
guys.
30th?
Yeah, guys report, and then they actually practice on Friday. But what you have now, you still have guys coming in to look at film on their own. You still have some guys getting treatments because they're allowed to do that during the course of the off season,
right,
regardless of their contractual situation. Guys can see the trainers and the medical staff. So it has really picked up, though. I mean, you talk about the hustle and the bustle. It's like a beehive around here this week because everybody's getting ready. If it's not the coaches, it's the front office people. It's the people who have to deal with the facilities. It's the guys dealing with the fields. It's the equipment guys. They were unpacking all the gloves and all the the extra cleats and everything yesterday. I was back there looking at that stuff, and so it's happening.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for all of us here at the Giants facility. I'm sure it's an exciting time for all Giants fans as we get closer and closer to training camp opening up, and then preseason games will be here before we know it, and then, of course, game one against the Dallas Cowboys. So we are kicking off the show with a former Giant, of course, Kevin Booth. He's joining us. Is he on the line right now? He is. Kevin, you are a missed man around these parts. How you doing?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Fantastic. So give us an idea of what players are going through right now. They've had this off season. They've gone on vacation with their family. They know that it's just a few days away from camp opening up and their lives change as we know it. What are they going through right now mentally?
Oh, man, this is a time where everybody's pretty grumpy. I mean, you're at the final countdown. I think every time you wake up, you're looking at the calendar saying, well, it's one more day closer to camp. So this is kind of like a nervous energy, but you're definitely going to miss the off time. But you understand that it's time now for the season to begin.
You know, Kevin, it's funny. Years and years ago, before you got into the league, guys would use training camp to get in shape and to get prepared for the season. But as you well know, in recent years, that's all changed. You have to be in shape before you get to training camp, don't you?
Well, yeah, definitely. I've heard the stories from the former players that training camp was 6 weeks long and had 120 people there. And, yeah, like you said, it was a time to work yourself into shape. But now you've got to hit the ground running, especially with the new CBA, with the limited practices and things of that nature. You really don't have much time to prepare. You have to get ready to play games.
Again, you're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, Kevin Booth, former offensive lineman for the Giants, joining us at the top of the hour. We're going to take your calls a little bit later on in the show, 201-939-4513. Kevin, let's talk about this offensive line. And obviously one of the biggest storylines is, unfortunately, Will Beatty tears a muscle, his pectoral muscle, and therefore, man, talk about getting thrown into the firing pan. Eric Flowers, now as a rookie, is going to have to step up and play that left tackle position. How difficult of a challenge do you think this is going to be for a rookie offensive lineman?
Well, it'll be different for him regardless, just because of the change in competition. But it's almost better to kind of learn on the fly. You know, I think that the best way to improve and to get yourself ready is to be out there. So, this time with him being out there out on the field, I think will really help his growth. And then in terms of Will, I'm sure that Will will come back fine. I actually had a similar injury. I don't know the specifics of Will, but I tore my pec roughly the same time frame back in 2010. And, usually you probably feel good around week one, but you haven't been lifting and you haven't had much conditioning. So it'll take some time for him to get back, but I expect him to be back at some point during the season.
Well, Flowers is going to have to start, though, Kevin. And from your perspective, look, you played tackle, you played guard, and you played center. You were all up and down the line. You and David Deal, probably the two most versatile linemen the Giants have had in my time here. What are the things that, you'll be looking at for him as a rookie trying to pick up the NFL game as quickly as he can? I mean, they're going to go through a month or so of training camp. They'll have the preseason games. And before you know it, week one against the Cowboys is here, and he's lining up against live bullets. What are the types of things, the biggest adjustments that you would want to see in him to prepare for that first game?
Well, I think physically he'll be ready to play because coming in as a first-round pick and fresh out of college, this is about as good as he'll be athletically. He's probably at his peak athletically. But obviously the biggest change will be mentally. You know, I think that realizing that people will be studying him for weeks at a time, getting ready for him, I think mentally that will be the toughest challenge. People will understand how to approach and where his weaknesses might be, and they'll try to look to exploit it. So he's going to have to spend a lot of time in the classroom, in the film room, and out there on the practice field each week working on his technique, and that's going to be the big thing. We'll just be understanding that people will be watching him 24/7 to try to figure out ways to beat him.
All right, so again, unfortunately, Beatty goes down, therefore Flowers has moved over to the left tackle. The idea was to have Flowers play right tackle, Beatty left, and Pugh. But I guess my question is, what would be more important for this Giants organization, to keep Pugh at left guard and build that relationship and that rapport on the left side of the line, Kevin, with Flowers, Pugh, and Richburg, or move Pugh back over to right guard? I mean, I'm sorry, or move Pugh back over to right tackle, because he might arguably be your best right tackle on the team right now.
Well, during my time with the Giants, and I feel that it's always been the case, is throughout the course of training camp, they'll work different combinations, and they'll figure out a way to put the best five players out there, regardless of position. I think that you talked about versatility earlier, Paul. I think that Justin Pugh definitely fits in that mold. I think that he could play any of the five positions on the offensive line, truthfully. So I think that he'll definitely be one of your top five offensive linemen, but at what position, I'm not sure. You know, and I think that practice and the preseason games will definitely determine that.
What is it about the mentality of a lineman, Kevin, that allows him to become so versatile and not to resist trying to hone in on one particular role? Because there are guys who can't play every position on the line. Then there are guys like you and Deal who can play every position on the line. I mean, we never saw Deal snap in a regular season game, but I'm sure he could have done it if he was asked, because he had the mentality to do it. What is it that makes a guy accept that and understand that, hey, you know what, I can do all of these things instead of being so focused on one specific area?
Well, I think it's a realization that you have to be able to play multiple positions just due to the number of people that are dressed weekly. And also, unless you're a Pro Bowl player at a position, you know, I think that you have to be ready for anything. You never know what might happen. There could be different players coming in that might be better than you at a certain position, and your best position to help the team might not be your first position. So, you have to be willing to switch. I mean, I played with Chris Snee, and it was not uncommon to see him play center, and he's a guy that was one of the best right guards in the NFL.
Yeah, so, in practice, sure.
Right.
So, well, you know, Richburg,
prepared for that.
Weston Richburg, Kevin, Weston Richburg just went through that. You know, rookie last year, comes out as one of the best centers in college. They had to ask him to play guard because they needed somebody to play guard. I mean, they were hurting, so he had to go do it, and now he's going back to center.
Right.
I mean, that's what you're talking
that's
about.
That's the way it is, and I think that that's one of the things that the Giants always preach is versatility, and I know that Coach Flaherty, that's his big thing, to be able to have guys that can play multiple positions, because you never know what might happen. And, you know, last year was a perfect example of that, and the year before, I guess, my last year there.
Sure.
Again, Kevin Booth joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. You know, we're not really sure in regard to when JPP hopefully will eventually join this team, but one of the topics surrounding the offensive line and Eric Flowers is the unfortunate nature that JPP isn't here to work across the line with Flowers to help get him ready. Because obviously, you know, for a rookie, in order to go up against the best, you want to practice against the best. Is there truth to that? Kevin, what really happens at practice once the pads go on? I mean, do you feel that by JPP not being here, that it might stunt the growth and the development at a faster rate or slower rate for Flowers?
Well, I think it definitely helps to have a player of JPP's ability out there going against them every day because, you know, we like to compete out there, especially on the practice field. And, you know, I think you guys have been out there several times and have witnessed it throughout the years that, you know, regardless of if it's your teammate or not, you don't like to lose. So having those guys, having the best at your position or going against the best at their position daily definitely helps. And, you know, you can only hope for the best for JPP. You know, I played several years with him, and I know that he has the ability to come back from those ailments, and I'm sure he will be back.
Kevin, let me ask you this. What's the hardest position to play along the line in the NFL? Is it left tackle because you got to deal with all those ferocious pass rushers? Is it the center who's got to help make the line calls and communicate with the quarterback? Is it the guard who's got to have the ability to physically, athletically power ahead but also get out on the edge and pull? I've never asked you that question, and you've played every position.
Right, that's a good question. You know, I think that each position definitely has their tough situations. But you can't help but appreciate the toughness of the left tackle's job out there, usually out there on an island against a premier rusher. But in today's game, it seems like they can put these premier rushers anywhere. You know, they can be over the guard. They can be over the center. They can be out on the edge. So I think every position kind of has their tough situations. But I would vote for left tackle and center because center seems to have a lot on his plate pre-snap and also has to worry about a guy trying to run him over when he has his hand between his legs.
Kevin, many are saying that this could very well be offensively the most talent that Eli Manning has worked with in his career. Of course, Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz, Reuben Randall. They add Shane Vereen to a very talented running back core. What are your expectations? I think Eli Manning could very well have the best statistical season of his entire career. Looking at the talent that's on this offensive roster, do you believe that? Do you agree with that?
I agree. You know, I obviously would keep up with the team because I still had a lot of friends on the team last year. And, you know, I don't know Odell Beckham Jr. personally, but, you know, when they would show the red zone highlights in the stadium throughout the course of the season, after week four, whenever he came back, it seemed like every week we'd see him scoring a long touchdown. So between him and I know that Victor Cruz will come back strong just because of the person that he is and his work ethic. And Reuben and Shane Vereen I thought was a great pickup as well. I think that they'll definitely be very explosive on offense. I felt that they were already one of the better offensive teams in the league last year without Victor and without Shane Vereen. So I think that'll definitely improve this year.
Kevin, I got to ask you one more thing before we let you go. Obviously, playing with the Raiders in recent vintage, you just mentioned something about seeing the red zone highlights on the scoreboard, which is what the league does now around all of these different stadiums. They show you highlights of games in progress. You just mentioned Beckham. I wonder, what was the reaction around the other stadiums or, for example, with the Raiders? You're telling me you look up at the scoreboard during a timeout and you see Odell Beckham doing his thing. What do people outside of New York think about this guy?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, literally, it was every time you'd see the Giants logo after about week four or five, everybody kind of looked up thinking, no way is he about to do it again. And sure enough, you'd see number 13 running about 70 yards down the field. So I remember actually watching, I think I was home watching the catch, as they call it.
Right. The claw, as Anita calls it.
I
just remember sitting there for about 5 minutes speechless with my wife. We couldn't believe that he actually caught the ball. And, you know, he looks to be a special talent. And as a fan of the NFL, you can't wait to see what he'll do next.
All right, last question. I promise we'll let you go. This is pertaining to the Oakland Raiders, not necessarily the Giants. I'm just curious. There's so much talk about Derek Carr being really one of the best quarterbacks that came out of that draft class. You had an opportunity to play with him. I mean, how good do you think he's going to be in his professional career?
I think he can be a really good one. I think he's the next in line here. I think he'll have a really big year this year. I think the new offense will be catered to him. And he's just a student of the game and has a great head on his shoulders. You know, I think that He's very mature for his years, and I think that he'll definitely excel this coming season. You know, I look forward to him having a big year statistically, and I think that the Raiders are actually going to improve. I think that Jack Del Rio there and his staff will do a great job of turning things around there, and I expect them to win some more games than they have in recent memory.
Fantastic. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. Really an absolute pleasure, and in all seriousness, you are so missed around here, and you're so missed in that locker room. So it's a pleasure hearing your voice.
Thank you. I miss you guys, too.
Thank you, Kevin. Great to talk to you.
Take care, Paul.
Great stuff. Thank you. Yeah. Are you kidding? Class act.
Yeah. And so glad for him that he landed here after when he originally came into the league and he was with the Raiders. Played a couple of years there, and that organization wasn't really doing so well. And the Giants picked him up out of nowhere, looking for a reserve offensive lineman who could give them a little bit of versatility. And they picked him up for depth purposes. And what do you think happens? A couple of years later, because of injuries, Kevin Booth, who studies hard, who works hard, one of those lunch pail guys, winds up finding himself in the starting lineup, and before you know it, he's a major part of what the Giants did over the last couple of years when they wound up being successful going to the
Ivy
Super Bowl.
Leaguer, too, right? Where did he go to school?
Cornell.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Kevin Booth, for spending time with us this afternoon. What's the one thing you walked away from your conversation with him that resonates?
Well, you know what? I thought what he said about Flowers in terms of mental. I always thought that people would say to me the speed of the game is the biggest adjustment coming from college to the pros. He didn't say that. He said with Flowers, physically, being drafted where he was, playing at the level he played at, physically he's got everything he's got to do. He said it was mental because they're all going to study. You already said 24/7. Everybody's going to study him to find out how to beat him. So I was a little bit surprised by that because with the speed rushes of the NFL and the way that they talk about the tempo of the game, I thought he was going to say that.
And also,
he didn't say that.
But also, you've got to assume that there are some defensive linemen that are going to put some moves on him that he has never seen before in college.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. So, you know, so, but his strength, his ability, I mean, you heard Tom Coughlin talk about just what a force he is. Can that counteract whatever moves a defensive end is going to put on him?
He's a brick house.
Yeah. Exactly.
He really is.
Exactly. So, again, you're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you this afternoon. We're going to start taking your calls, 201-939-4513, and start kind of teeing up some topics as we're getting ready for training camp to open up. And there's so many topics and so many battles, but I know we've had some listeners and viewers who've been holding on. So let's head right out to the phone calls. Okay, Paul?
Let's do it.
All right, let's kick it off. Line two with Marco calling in from Connecticut. Marco, welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
Hey, so just two positions that I'm really going to be looking forward to, even when we start this weekend, is to see Bennett Jackson and the safeties and kind of, you know, who are the two main guys that are going to be out there when they start in positional drills. And then another position is tight end. And I'm more eager, I think, this year because of than last year. Donnell was, kind of an unknown last year. But now, you know, he's coming in with some expectations. You know, fans and the coaches, we saw him do a lot last year where, you know, he really showed flashes, and now I was disappointed in the mini camp when I heard about that injury that kind of kept him down. And, you know, I hope it's not a situation that lingers or, you know, a possible PUP candidate, but I think it's an interesting position now because if he's slowed in training camp, who are the, you know, and they're all pretty equal. There's guys at that position that could really pop, I think, in preseason.
Okay, what Marco, do you want, the tight ends or the safeties?
Marco, thank you for the phone call. I kind of want to go full circle and throw a question back your way in regard to the tight ends. Because this is something that was discussed with me earlier today, and that is because the offensive line will more than likely be struggling offensively, the line will be the one department on this offense that more than likely will be struggling more than others. That and with the addition of Shane Vereen, the health, hopefully, fingers crossed, with Victor Cruz, hopefully Reuben Randle takes another step up at being the Reuben Randle we all believe he can be.
Right.
Does the tight end position become more of a blocking tight end need in this offense more so than a receiving tight end.
I don't think there's any doubt they need better blocking production from the position. There's no question in my mind about that. But the one caveat here is that Vereen is a very good blitz picker-upper. So what you could do on occasion, if you're in a third down package, what you might do is actually wind up bluffing with a setup where your tight end
goes out
and Vereen stays in and helps pick up the blitz.
Right.
You could do that.
No, I know. I know they can do that, Paul. What I'm saying is just because the offensive line is the biggest, is the sore thumb, is the biggest concern on the offensive side of the ball.
Your tight end
that
has
whoever the tight end is
has to be better.
His role in the necessity of what he's going to bring to the program more important as a blocker than as a receiver. And so I guess what I'm saying, asking you, is who's the best blocking tight end on this roster right now?
Daniel Fells.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Okay.
You know. The Giants are going to have to go through training camp and try to figure out if there's someone who can block as well as him or better than him. But Larry Donnell, to this point, hasn't shown a proficiency to get his blocking capabilities up to the level that the Giants will need on a consistent basis. He's got to work on that. He's a young player. Last year was his first time as a full-time player, and now he's got to show that he can do the other things besides catch a football.
Also, the safety discussion, the caller did not even mention Nat Burhey. Now, I kind of have my money on Nat Burhey winning the opposite safety position other than beside Landon Collins.
Right.
We just didn't get a good taste of Nat Burhey because he was dealing with a calf injury. But I think Nat Burhey, if the starting safety's on this roster right now, to me, it's Nat Burhey. Tell me I'm wrong.
I agree with you.
Okay.
But I will tell you, I think Bennett Collins has come back from his knee surgery very, very
Bennett
strong. Bennett Jackson. Mixing those names up.
It's all right. I know we're in training camp too, folks.
Jackson moved extremely well during the offseason program. Surprised the daylights out of me. I didn't know what to expect. And you know what they always say, Anita, it's 2 years away from that surgery where you finally start to really get your full capacities back. Well, here he's only a year removed, and he's really looked good out there. So I'd like to see him challenge as best as he possibly can, if not just push Burhey. Perhaps Bennett Jackson winds up being the third safety. That's not out of the question.
Here's a tweet from Ben. Again, make sure you tweet us at Giants, hashtag Giants chat. I don't get why Bennett Jackson's name comes up on a team with no cornerback depth, had to switch to safety where they've drafted 4 in 3 years.
Yeah, but Bennett Jackson is the kind of guy who, if he proves physically he's capable of holding up. Now, remember, everything he's done coming off knee surgery has been in shirts and shorts. He has not taking any physical contact or any beatings or poundings. But if he proves that he can handle all of that and the knee is strong enough, the Giants will get him on the field wherever they believe that he is most worthy. If they need him to produce a corner and he shows he's capable of doing it, he might wind up being a reserve cornerback. If they need him at safety, he'll do that. He's a very astute football player. Have you had a chance to sit with him at all?
Briefly, here and there.
He is very, very focused and on top of the game. He was taught very well at college, and I think he's the kind of guy...
Notre Dame,
who,
right?
Yes, who could learn whatever it is that Spags wants to teach him. Now, clearly coming into the offseason, because of the dearth of bodies at safety, that's where they're trying to work him right now. But I don't think it's out of the question if he proves physically that he can handle the cornerback spot. They could always move him back there. This doesn't preclude that he's going to play corner.
This is from D. Ricker, 81. Jennings/Vereen are good at pass protection. Hopefully we can get some tight end help blocking. Need to scheme around any weakness. And then, of course, Eddie wants to know who would win in an arm wrestling match between you and I.
Let me make something very clear.
Tell the truth.
She is the most competitive human being on the face of the earth. Under no circumstances do you ever challenge her or bet her unless you want to lose. Case closed.
All right, let's go to line one. John calling in. John, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Yeah, hey, Kim. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about the Giants defense. Everyone's making so much about JPP and his finger and all that. And really, if you look at his sacks last year, a lot of them were during garbage time when the Giants just really didn't need it that badly. And you've got a lot of good defensive ends on the team. You get Ayers, you get Selfie, you've got Demetri Moore, and you get the kid out of number three draft pick.
So, Double O.
Yeah,
don't forget so Kerry Wynn.
It's not like they don't have any players. And, you know, JPP did this to himself. No one else did it to him. And in my opinion, we should cut him and pick up that kid from New Orleans at Junior Gallet.
All right. First things first.
John, thanks for the phone call.
There's no new news at all on Jason Pierre-Paul. And until there is news of some type, there's really no point even talking about him. He's a non-entity. When things develop, we'll deal with it. But right now, he's not here. So look at the five defensive ends who are NFL-caliber players who are here. And I agree with you in that I think the Giants have five pretty good players at the position. I mean, we talked when this whole situation happened a month or so ago, Anita, and I said to you, my goodness, if there's one position, and I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to say I'm okay with an injury, but if there's one position where the Giants could actually take a bit of a hit, it might be defensive end. I mean, they've got some guys there. They got numbers, guys who can play. Now, without JPP here, I don't see the Giants getting the 50-plus sacks that I thought they would get when I went into the offseason. They may wind up being in the low 40s now. But the five guys, Selvey and Ayers and Moore and Odighizuwa and Wynn, these guys are all capable players, and even Colin Jenkins can go out there if he has to. So they're not crippled here at the position.
Oh, I don't think so. While you were and John were on vacation, Lance and I held down the fort for a week, and it was something that we talked about a lot. And that is, you know, how is Spags going to handle the defensive line? And you know, we talked about how maybe he's going to handle it situationally, where on first and 10, he has certain guys on there. You know, if it's third and 8, he's got guys that are going to get after the quarterback and pressure the quarterback, not give the quarterback any time to get a pass off. If it's third and 1, maybe he's got his big horses in there.
Matchup defense.
Exactly. Do you think that's how this is going to play out?
I think that's probably how they're going to start, because what they'd probably like to see happen, look, who's kidding who? They'd love to see Demetri Moore just flourish.
Right.
They'd love to see him say, I'm going to seize that position. I'm going to be the dominant player they thought I was when I was drafted, and I'm going to be in that lineup as much as possible, and I'm just going to wreak havoc on people. I don't know if you can count on him to do that. So I do think it'll be more of a matchup defense. But again, here's what you got to remember about Spags. He always liked to rotate his guys anyway. This isn't exactly something that's going to catch him off guard and is going to catch him with his pants down. They're like, oh, my goodness, what do I do? Spags always liked to rotate defensive linemen. So it kind of fits into his scheme if he's going to have to do it anyway.
We're going to continue with the calls, 201-939-4513. But I want to ask you, because I'm hearing, you know, now as we're getting closer to the season starting, Dan Graziano, Tom Rock, you know, all the beat writers, everybody who kind of covers this team are now guests on a number of sports talk radio programs, and they're writing articles, whatever. But everything I'm reading, everything I'm hearing, Paul, is that there are a number of analysts who feel that this Giants defense could very well be one of the worst defenses in the NFL. What are they not seeing? What are they not, like?
Well, I think a couple of things. The critics will immediately point to John Beeson's inability to stay healthy, which we all know how much that hurts the run defense if he's not on the field.
Right.
So that's one thing they're going to look at. They're going to look at the inexperience of the safeties, and they're going to say, well, these defensive backs are going to make mistakes. And when NFL defensive backs make mistakes, they usually lead to big plays. So I understand that too. Then they're going to say, well, JPP is your only guaranteed double-digit sack guy. He's now pushed off to the side. Okay, where's the pass rush coming from? So I see every one of the doubts and every one of the questions. But I also see potential answers for some of these things, because I do think the defensive end by committee is going to work well. I do believe that Kendrick Ellis is going to help shore up the rush defense. I do believe the continued development of Devon Kennard is going to help the rush defense as well as the pass rush. I do believe that J.T. Thomas being signed is going to help the speed and the linebacking core.
I love how you point at me.
Right?
I know. I'm his biggest fan right now.
Come on, sing.
No, I know. Just wait. Just watch.
And so, you know, what I'm not sure about, I think the front seven is going to be better. I really believe that. So all you critics out there, have at me, but I think you're wrong. What I can't defend right now on July 28th, I can't defend right now, is the secondary. Prince and DRC were both hurt last year, and the Giants were ravaged by injury. I can't tell you that there's solid depth behind them because I just don't know enough about some of these young players. I don't know that Landon Collins is going to come in immediately and produce. I don't know that Bennett Jackson's knee is going to be fine and he's going to be a player. I don't know that Nat Burhe is going to be what the Giants thought he was when they drafted him. So I can't defend the safeties in particular, but the secondary as a whole. I don't know who the nickel guy is. We think it's going to be McBride, but
right.
We don't know.
Right.
So I can't defend that, but I'm going to defend this front seven, and I will not yield on that. This front seven's better than it was last year.
Let's go to line two. We've got Andrew calling in from Pennsylvania. Andrew, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I should have called in like 7 minutes earlier because I kind of wanted to say everything that you've been touching on, but I just wanted to throw out a couple more points. I really don't think the JPP possible loss is that big of a deal. You probably don't remember, but I called in like every week last year saying that I didn't care about JPP, just get Antrell Roll signed. And I know Antrell Roll didn't perform all that great, but it would have been great to have him coaching up Landon Collins. But outside of that, before the injury, Ayers was completely outplaying JPP, in my opinion. I mean, ever since when the whole you down with JPP thing came out, I was all about JPP. But ever since that Super Bowl, I feel like JPP has underperformed, and he's kind of like another Hakeem Nicks. And I'm not talking about the financial aspect, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. I didn't want JPP. I think he's an underachiever.
Okay, well, I tell you what, we got some interference on the line, so we're going to let you go, but let me just say this, and Anita, please, by all means, feel free to disagree, but by every grading system imaginable, JPP was one of the top 5-4-3 defensive ends in the National Football League last year, and that is by every grading system that you could possibly put out there. He's a top 5 guy. Now, you want to sit here and tell me that he put up some of his numbers and the bulk of his sack numbers against teams that are substandard during the latter half of the season. I'm not going to dispute that because those are the facts. But I will also tell you, if you look closely enough, and if you watch the game carefully enough, he played the run better than he ever has in his career. And by the way, next to J.J. Watt, had more tackles than any other defensive end in the National Football League last season. So I don't know where the doubters are on him, where the critics are on him. Again, that's the 2014 JPP. I don't know what the 2015 JPP is going to be. But I'm pretty much done with hearing about people take pot shots at him last season, Anita, because he played well. I know he doesn't play the run option well. Okay, big deal. There's one play that he doesn't play well. Big deal. Everybody seems to remember that particular play that burned him a number of times in several games, and they think he didn't play well. It's unfair.
Let's take some tweets as well.
Do you agree or do you not?
No, I do agree with you.
Okay.
If I disagreed, I would have.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have made a big fuss about it.
Yeah, she does that.
Again, hashtag Giants chat. This is from Marco. At our current defense intact, who are opposing offenses concerned scheming against on our defense? So looking at the roster, are there some offenses on, not the roster, looking at the schedule,
right.
Are there some concerning offenses? Obviously, Dallas with Dez coming back and,
sure.
And that offensive line, regardless who's back there running back, they're going to see daylight forever. Atlanta, you've got one of the best wide receiving combos in the NFL and a very good quarterback.
But you know what I always say about the Falcons, Anita, and I know that sometimes you're Matty Ice guy, but they don't play nearly as well on the road as they do at home. And we've seen them come up here to the Giants' home park and not really do much offensively. So, no, I'm not concerned about the Falcons' offense.
I'm probably the only one who is concerned about Philadelphia. I know everybody kind of poo-poos Chip Kelly. If Sam Bradford is healthy and reports now are that he's going to be ready to go at camp, and if he can stay healthy, I think Philadelphia is going to be a force to be reckoned with. They hands down have the best backfield in the NFL.
Look, it's a bear of a game to prepare for at the very least.
New Orleans, I don't know. I mean, you know, can Drew Brees and Sean Payton kind of get their offense back on track? Sure.
Well, who's the go-to guy without Graham? Come on, your fantasy.
Cookie Monster, Brandon Cooks.
He's just going to totally blow it up.
Oh, jeez. PPR, folks. If you're playing in a PPR, no. This is a guy that you want on your roster.
I shouldn't have done that.
Don't even play around. Don't even waste your time. New England, by that time, November 15th, Tommy Boy is going to be back.
I mean, there are some challenges in the schedule. I'm not going to tell you there aren't.
Listen, the past 2 years, it's been like Green Bay, New England, Dallas.
It's
like
been Eastwood gauntlet is what it's been.
Yes, it's not that way this year.
No.
So I'd say Dallas, Atlanta, Philadelphia, New Orleans. And you know what? I'm not just saying this because I'm from Miami. This might be the year for the Miami Dolphins. This just might be the year for them.
I think they're dangerous.
So, This is from Big Dash. These so-called experts are forgetting that Spags is back. Let them sleep on our defense. Come week one, we'll see. And that's something you touched on.
You know, I want to really get a look. And Anita, we both know that during the course of training camp, guys don't show everything. Guys are very, very limited and very vanilla during the course of the preseason as well. But I'm going to be looking for a lot of things. When we're standing out there during the camp, okay, I want you to ask me a number of times to point out some of the typical Spags things that I will see, because it's all going to come back. When I watch him, and I know he's got a few tweaks that he's learned over the years since he left the Giants, but I'm going to be watching for the typical Spags types things that I always used to see here for the two seasons when he was originally the D coordinator.
Do you? This is from Joe. Wants to know, would you expect Spags to blitz more often to make up for no JPP and put more trust in the corners to cover as well?
I don't. I don't think he wants to do that. That's not the Spags way. But if necessity forces him to, he will adjust. One of the best things that Spags does, and we've talked about this since the day he was hired, his in-game adjustments, his intuition, his ability to improvise with the player's input, these are things that are incredibly valuable to his game planning and to the way that he conducts his defense. Now, will he have to do that? I don't know. I think he hopes he doesn't have to, but he will if the game dictates it. He's not afraid to change. That's one of the great things about him.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line 4. Max is calling in from New York City. Max, welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
First, before I make my point, I want to acknowledge your point about, you know, you have to be careful with Landon Collins. Because I feel like everything we hear is, you know, who's going to line up alongside Landon Collins. But I think we need to hold our horses a little bit. I don't think, especially if we have playoff expectations, we can necessarily guarantee this guy be a starting safety. Who knows? You know what I mean? So I think that's like where we have to be careful. But I was just going to ask you guys.
Trust me, he is going to start at the safety position. Trust me.
But is that by default or because it's going to totally be NFL ready?
All right, they traded up to get him
exactly
at the top of the second round, which is basically a pseudo first round pick. You don't do that unless you want the guy to start.
Yep.
I mean,
that's fair.
Honestly.
I was just going to ask you guys, though, because you hinted on what some of the experts have their defense, and I just do think that, you know, some of them have probably been too harsh on their defense. But do you think with where their defense falls, which respectively is probably a middle-of-the-line defense, maybe a little below average compared to the rest of the NFL, do you think this offense might have, if this offense doesn't rank 1, maybe even 2 if we're lucky in division, we're still going to make the playoffs, or do we have to be top 1
the top offense in the division to make the playoffs?
If I may, I'm going to jump on this. Thanks for the call. I'm going to jump on this because I've been thinking about this. And what I believe is if the Giants have a top 15 defense, upper half of the league, all right, 32 teams, 16, but you get my drift. If they're a top half defense and they've got a
top five offense.
I was going to say top eight.
No, let's go top five.
But I'll go five.
I think
it could be.
I think this offense has the ability. I think the big key is Victor Cruz's health, and obviously the second key is who are those five starting linemen going to be? Especially that right tackle position is going to. If the stars line up properly in that regard, I think this offense has the ability to be top five, Paul.
See, I think they can be. If they get the power running game going, which is a direct correlation with the O-line. I'm going to be a little more conservative and say top eight for now. I think if they can go top eight offense, top 15 defense, the Giants are a playoff team. I believe that.
What if they're not top 15 off defense? What if they're, what if they're, hypothetically speaking, let's say their offense ranks 25th in the NFL.
Offense?
Yeah, I mean defense. Their defense ranks 25th in the NFL, which a lot of the analysts are predicting, anticipating this defense to be that bad.
And you understand I don't see
I know. Okay. We're all talking hypotheticals here. We're having fun this afternoon.
I know we are.
But if let's say they're a bottom 25 defense, how good does this offense need to be in order for you to feel that they make some waves
in
this division?
If they're 25th in defense, they're going to have to be lights out on offense to even be a 500 team. And that's why these guys on D, the guys we talked about, the Thomases, the Kennards, the Ellises, the DeMontre Moores, these guys, they got to do it. I mean, there's a lot of responsibility being placed on these guys' shoulders to make this defense, at the very least, and I'm talking about at the very least average. They can't afford to be less than that. I don't think.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line three. Abdul is calling in from Minneapolis. Abdul, welcome.
Hey, guys. Before I make my comment, I want to give a shout-out to Bruce Arians and what he did yesterday. And I know, Anita, your love for him probably just grew exponentially over the past day.
Well,
I think it's really cool.
So how cool is this? I actually played against her. I played for the Florida Stingrays. She played for the Dallas Diamonds. My last year playing women's professional football, we had to go to Dallas and beat Dallas in Dallas to make it to the championship. And it was a rough game, not going to lie about it. And we beat them and we were able to advance and go to the championship that year, 2003, same year that the Marlins, by the way, beat. I'll never forget this. A really quick, fun story. So we're on the sideline and we get the news that the Florida Marlins, won the World Series, unfortunately against the Yankees.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, that excitement, that thrill, if the Marlins can do it, we can do it. The news we got at during the halftime of our game. And so that kind of gave us, I'll never forget it, and that kind of gave us extra energy, extra oomph. But I've played against her. What she's been able to do with her career since then has been unbelievable. She's coached men in other indoor football leagues. She's played with men in other indoor football leagues. I can't say enough wonderful things about Bruce Arians and the Arizona Cardinals for bringing her in and giving her this opportunity to learn more, develop more. I think it's a huge step for women in football. I can't be more thrilled today.
And it's making it more, you know, just more accepting for everyone. I think it's really awesome. Okay, my point that I recalled, my second point that I called about, was that I see a lot of similarities to this year's Giants team with last year's Dallas team. And with saying that, I understand why a lot of the critics are saying this Giants team could potentially be really bad on defense, just like Dallas. You know, people said that about Dallas last year because we're so thin at a lot of positions. If we're one and two tackles away for having Jaron Holsley and Taki Wright being our starting cornerbacks. That being said, our defense needs to be limited, has to have a limited amount of snaps on the field. Like, they need to be on the field as little as possible. And I think our offense could help do that by controlling the clock, running the ball, and scoring, and making the opponent's offense one-dimensional. I don't think our defense is made to suffer through attrition. We're too thin at so many spots that I think if we're out there, for extended amount of time, people are going to get hurt. And at that point, we don't have enough depth to be a good defense behind our starters.
Okay, your logic is okay, but here's where you lost me. When you said the Giants were much like the Cowboys last year, you know the Cowboys had one of the best three, if not the best offensive line in football, right?
Right.
Where is the Giants' offensive line anywhere close to resembling what the Cowboys have?
Okay, I think we're one player away to having a very solid offensive team. And I think our receivers on our running backs could be better than what Dallas had last year, I think, as a whole. And I'm not saying as individual talents, because I think, you know, DeMarco Murray was probably better than, you know, Jennings.
Okay, but as a team, you need to run the ball about 130 yards a game on average
to be a solid running team to do what you want.
And right now, they haven't proven they can do that yet. So let them get that squared first before you start going on with your presumptions.
Well, okay, my presumption is more on the defensive side and not the offensive side. I said our defense is way too thin at so many positions, which is why a lot of people are saying our defense won't be good.
Yeah, but to play the kind of style.
I think the only way to save the defense is to keep them off the field.
I'm with you. I like your idea, okay? But the problem is to execute that idea and to take the pressure off the defense and to overcome some of the thin spots on that defense, especially in the secondary at safety, you've got to be able to dominate the clock and control the ball by playing the power game.
Right.
You got to run it for 130-plus yards a game. The Giants haven't shown they can do that in years. Years.
Listen, Paul, I'm trying to be positive.
I know, brother. I know. I get it. I get it.
Your lips to God's ears that, you know, we'll be able to do that.
Abdul, I'm with you. It's a great plan. We're going to let you go. I get it. It's a great idea.
I know, and I understand what you're saying in regards to the offensive line, because Dallas, their offensive line was just sick last year, and it's only going to get better because they've invested for the past few years in it.
Absolutely.
Listen, I think I have a lot more faith on this Giants offense. I'm with him in that this offensive line is just missing that one player, you know? I think with Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, I know that we really did not get a great sample size of Jeff Schwartz last year because he was healthy, but I think he's going to surprise some folks.
I'd like to be as optimistic. Right now, I'm cautious about the whole thing because if you look at the five starters, the only guy right now, as of today, and things could change in a month, the only guy right now who is starting week one at the position that he was supposed to play last year is Schwartz, who missed most of the season because of injury. Because Richburg was a guard, Pugh was a tackle, Flowers was at Miami, and Newhouse wasn't here either.
Well, let me ask you this.
I can't help but question that.
Hypothetically speaking, Newhouse does not start at the right tackle position. I'm one who does not believe he will. Do you think it's Jeff Schwartz who moves over, or do you think it's Pugh who moves over?
I think that Jeff Schwartz is the most likely candidate now because from everything that I have seen and watched and been told, they really want to get Pugh on track as a guard because they thought all along when they drafted him he could be a Pro Bowl guard. And I think they have finally said to themselves, you know what, enough of just putting him out there at tackle because we need him. It's time to get this guy to Hawaii as a guard.
So if the season was to start today, you think it would be Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, Jerry?
And Schwartz? If the Newhouse thing does not work out. I mean, they're going to give him every opportunity over the next month or so to prove that he can win the job. If he doesn't, I would think Schwartz is the next option. And I also think that you got to keep your ears open for somebody who may spring free. Again, Jake Long is still out there. The Giants admitted they had him in for a visit. You know, it wasn't quite right at that time. You don't know what's going to happen. The door is always open.
Let's go to line one. Tommy calling in from San Diego. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, Tommy.
Hi, thanks, you guys. I have a quick question about the tight ends.
Sure.
I don't know. Is it going to be more of like they're going to split times with Fells and Donnell? I don't even know who's going to be the starting tight end.
Well, Larry Donnell is their starter. I mean, there's not much question about that. What remains to be seen is how well will he continue to develop his all-around game? We know he can go catch the ball, but we haven't really seen him be brutal at the point of attack. And when I say brutal, I mean in a good way. You know, get into guys, knock them backwards. That's not really the best part of his game. And he's got to start developing that if the Giants are going to rely on him to help out with the run.
Yeah. Is it going to be more of, are they going to mix in a lot too?
Well, look, it'll be situational substitutions. If they want to run the ball more and he's not getting that part of his game together, they're going to have to look at other guys. Daniel Fells may see more snaps. It could be one of the other young fellas, somebody like potentially maybe Matt Lacoste, you know, who's out there. Cunningham is also trying to make an impact and try to make a spot for himself on the roster. I mean, somebody on this team, and it's not going to be you, Anita, and it's not going to be me, is going to help block for those running backs.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Let's go to Phoenix. This is great. A lot of calls coming in from all over the country today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Bill, welcome in.
Hi, Anita. How are you today?
Okay.
Hey, I believe it all starts with the running game and running the ball and stopping the run. And the Giants need help in both places. I've heard we had two excellent run stoppers on our defensive line. But yet, if you look at the statistics, we've gave up 4.9 yards per rush, which is last. And, you know, and I don't understand how we could have these great run stoppers and be last. Same thing with the offensive line. We couldn't run the ball. Basically, I watch the games and we're getting hit. Our running backs are getting hit 3 and 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and they're lucky to fall forward for a couple yards. Until we get that fixed, we're going to be one-dimensional. And what they've done is they just basically said, well, I'm going to move the guard to tackle and the tackle the guard and the center over here and this and that, and basically the same people, and shake it up and say, now we're improved.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to simplify this for you. Thanks so much for the call. Weston Richburg was drafted as a center. He played out of position as a rookie, which is a hard thing to do because this team needed help at guard. The starting guard they signed last offseason, Jeff Schwartz, who got a contract commensurate with a guy who's had experience in this league and could block as a guard, got hurt. So you had two guard spots that were not what the Giants planned them to be. You also had a center spot, which J.D. Walton was manning, and quite honestly, he didn't work out very well. You also had a right tackle in Justin Pugh, who's not really supposed to be a right tackle. So you get why the Giants' offensive line did not perform all that well last year. The evidence is there, okay? When you put two and two together, you get four. They've tried to address some of those things. They got Richburg back at center. They've got Pugh at guard where he's supposed to be. Jeff Schwartz is now supposedly healthy, ready to go at guard. They've tried to deal with some of those things to get themselves in a better position, and I think they are. How much better remains to be seen. Now, on the other side of the ball, John Beeson missed a tremendous amount of time last year. He's back and healthy, and they're cutting back his workload right now to make sure that he can stay on the field. We'll see how that goes. They went for the speedy, athletic JT Thomas from Jacksonville. Anita's a big fan. I think the guy gets around real well. I think he moves really well in space. I'm anxious to see him on the field. He should help the run defense. So should Kendrick Ellis, the plugger they signed from the Jets. George Selvey is a run-first stopping defensive end. So I guess what I'm telling you is they have clearly addressed both sides of the running game during this offseason. Will it work? I don't know, but they've addressed both issues. You can't sit here and tell me that they haven't, and they're going to be as bad as they were last year. You can't possibly tell me that. I'm off my soapbox now.
Let's address some more tweets before we do sign off. This is from Rizzo, praying that the football gods bless us with at least a defensive all-offensive line this year, please. Okay. if we lose this from Joe, if we lose another offensive lineman, I'm not sure Eli will make it to week 17. Listen, that's one of the really big keys to Eli Manning. It's just, I mean, he's just the Iron Man. I mean, it's just, he takes a lick and he keeps on ticking. He's never missed a game. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, he's really something else. And I will say this, I think that Eli has another few seasons left in him where he could still be a top-flight quarterback. But, you know, if you keep getting him beaten up like they did the last few years, that window's going to close in a hurry because he's not going to be able to stay on the field.
One more, and this is from Donald, wants to know, I'd like to know where we have upgraded from last year aside from Vereen.
Well, I think I just went through that, so I'm not going to waste any more breath.
Okay. on ending, I gave my opinion, and well, let me go one step further in regard to the female who was hired by.
I forgot her name. What is her name?
Oh, now you're putting.
Oh, you forgot?
Yeah.
Oh no!
No!
You played against her.
I talked about her all morning.
Lori, right?
No, hold. Jen.
Not Lori.
Hold
Jen?
On. Hold on, because I talked to her all about Jen Welter.
That's it.
Coached linebackers and special teams for the Texas Revolution of the Indoor Football League this season. Suited up as a running back and special teams player for the Revolution in 2014. Won four titles for the Dallas Diamonds of the Women's Football Alliance. Played rugby at Boston College and has a PhD in psychology. So the Cardinals have hired her as an assistant coaching intern for training camp in the preseason to work with inside linebackers. So just FYI. And this is my take on this. I talked about this morning, and that is I use the analogy of Bruce Arians and the Arizona Cardinals, very similar to Pop and the Spurs. I don't think this, and I will call it an experiment. I think it is an experiment because
okay.
It's the first time it's happening, would be likely to have as much success as I think it will have if it was for a different team or a different organization. Bruce Arians, one of the most respected coaches in the NFL, the way that I'm sure that he runs things over there in Arizona, she's going to walk in and everybody's going to have immediate respect. It's not a joke. It's not a circus. This isn't a ploy. This is for real. And so I look at what Pop's doing with the Spurs. And
with Becky Harmon.
Yeah, Hammond.
Hammond.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Spurs, she coached them, and they won the Vegas Summer League.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the big key here is the fact that the organization that is bringing her in and the head coach that has made the decision to bring her in, I think is really a big key to this being a success.
Yeah, I think it helps that it's a winning franchise. I also think it helps that it's not a number one media market, too, because she will have some room to breathe and to do her job properly. You know, I'm as old school as they get, Anita, but I'm in favor of it. I think that, you know, heck, like you said earlier, the lady played ball. And I think that in her position, the role that she's being asked to fulfill, she's got to know the game, and she's got to be able to communicate the game, the plays, the X's and the O's that come out of the playbooks to the players. Why can't she do that? What is the problem for somebody who might say this is a bad idea? I don't get it. I mean, it'd be different now. It'd be different, okay, if it was a different role. But I think a positional coach, a quality control coach, I don't see why a female can't do it as long as she has studied the game and put her film work in and understands all the terminology and what it is that they're asking the players to do. I think it's fine. I hope it works out. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, and it's great. I mean, in this day and age, to have women be a part of a coaching staff, not only in the NBA but now in the NFL, I think it really speaks volumes in regard to where we are as a society. So, pretty stoked about it, Paul. It's been a fun hour with you.
Good one.
You and I are back in action again on Thursday.
Yes.
And head coach Tom Coughlin actually speaks to the media on Thursday at 4:40 p.m.
After conditioning drills, which is after our show.
Right. But we will, you know, I'd like for us to have a really, really in-depth preview to the season, maybe kind of have some fun with the roster, anticipate, you know, who's on the bubble, who really needs to outperform. Yeah. So
it's that time.
Yeah. So I think we'll have some fun with that. So are you back tomorrow or is it?
No, they gave me tomorrow off, but I'm back Thursday and Friday.
Okay, so it's Lance and John tomorrow. So make sure you tune in all week as we're getting Big Blue Nation ready for training camp. Have a great week, everybody.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.